Okay, for this, I'm going to need some help, and so I want to ask Jason and Grace and Tristan to come back up, and Abby, would you help me out? You have that parental family call on you. All right, pick one. I mean, it's okay. It's not a trick. It's okay, cool. Yes. Now, hang on. I got to remember how this goes. So we're going to do the sermon a little bit different. We're going to ease into the text instead of starting with the text. And to do that, we got a story. And so for the first part, the red bird. Who's the red bird? Jason. Okay, Jason, you're going to come. This is your section. From David forward, you guys are the red birds. And the red birds, when I say red bird, you go tweet, tweet. So one, two, three, red bird.
Tweet, tweet.
Okay, good. That's the bar. So you're going to have to beat that. All right, so the yellow birds are back here. Okay, so from, yeah, that's why I put David up there. Yellow birds are caw, caw. Okay, yellow bird. Yeah, that was better. You're going to need to work with them. The back parts of the church are always a little sketchy. Okay, so the blue bird is going to be here. And the blue birds are cock-a-doodle. So there you go, blue birds. And so you just have to say it with them and then remind them. This is the post-it note generation, so that's what you do. Okay, and finally, the green birds are going to be from here back. And you are hooty-hoo! Anybody remember Andy Griffith? Yeah, okay, good. All right, so light beat, so come here. So you're that part. All right, so we have red birds. We have yellow birds. Blue birds and green birds. Okay, once upon a time there was a forest, and in that forest there were all sorts of creatures, and especially a lot of colorful birds. And so there were red birds, yellow birds, blue birds, and green birds. And they got along great until one day a red bird landed on a branch next to a bluebird, and there was just some tension there. And it was okay for a while. And even when a yellow bird landed next to a green bird, they were still good. Until one day when a red bird was by herself, and Slithery Snake came up and whispered and said, "I heard a green bird say that her feathers were prettier than yours." Oh. Well, and then all of a sudden, a bluebird landed on a branch, and Slithery Snake came along and whispered into his ear and said, "I heard a yellow bird." Yeah, you gotta step it up. "Say that her feathers were prettier than yours." And oh, things weren't so calm. There wasn't the camaraderie among the forest anymore. And then one day, a yellow bird landed next to a green bird. And the yellow bird looked over and plucked out one of the feathers of the green bird. And then next thing you know, a red bird landed next to a blue bird, and the blue bird pulled out one of the feathers of the red bird. Oh, and let me tell you what. Before long, there was feather pulling and plucking, and there was a giant war between all the birds, including the red birds, the yellow birds, the blue birds, and the green birds. They were screaming and they were yelling and they were feathers flying everywhere. It looked like pillows had busted open. It was terrible. And Slithery Snake was feeling pretty good, but that went on all day and into the night. And at night it got cold. And you know what else got cold? Those birds did, because they didn't have any feathers. And the next morning they woke up, they were all huddled together, looking like a bunch of Holly Farms chickens, just huddling right there together, shivering. And they looked at each other and they couldn't tell each other apart. And they didn't have their different songs because they all talk like this. They've been yelling for so long. And what they learned was, even though they looked different, talked different, maybe flew different, they all had some of the same basic needs. And that they were united, even in the midst of that great diversity. And so even though Slithery Snake thought he won, he really lost. Because from that point forward, they learned that even though they were very different, they were still one forest. And that's the lesson of the War of the Birds. Thank you, guys. You can keep those cards as mementos of today. Now, before we go into the text, which is coming, I just got to make sure this is going to work for me. Before we go into the text, I want to tell you that as I was thinking about the sermon and worried about what we were going to talk about and thinking about, I had that story and I had the passage and I had the theme from Bible school, and so I was kind of working on it. And then I drove into the church yesterday to get a little quiet time, and what I realized that it was not going to be a normal trip. You are sorry. No. I realized it was not going to be a normal trip to the church because there were three cop cars sitting in the parking lot. Now, that has your attention while I'm messing with the computer. And it makes you think a bit. As I'm going to tell you that it really wasn't a big deal. They park here a lot. And I went to the front door, and the cop drove around, and he said, "Are you connected to the church?" And I said, "It depends." No, I really didn't say that. I said, "Yes, I'm the pastor here." And he said, "Well, there may have been a break-in." And I said, "Okay, I deal with news. Tell me what may have been means." He said, "Well, I've come over here, and I was looking for some shade, and I saw a car drive out. And I saw the door was open to the gym." And he said, "I walked in and there was a bird in there," which has no relationship other than, I don't know what color it was or what the song sounded like, but just seemed to point that out. And he says, "But it flew out and I walked around. I didn't see anything, but I was going to call somebody." And there were two other cop cars here because apparently he called for backup. And I explained to him that about 75% of our facility use is by groups that don't go to the church, and the number of people who have access to that gym is pretty high. And even thinking if somebody saw a bird in there, it's highly likely that one of us left the door open so the bird would go out. And that we went through and it was fine. Now, I want to just tell you about my experience of what went through my head. And before you think less of me as I start this, you're going to think worse of me by the end, so it's okay. The first thing I wondered was, I wonder what color the person drove out was. I wonder if it was a person of color, if he thought there was more likely to be a break-in. So I wondered if there was profiling going on. And then when I went down and saw the other police officers, one of them was a person of color. And then I realized I had just profiled the profilers. And what made it worse was, as I looked at them and we're talking, and you know, we try and have a good relationship in the community, I thought it would be a great opportunity to offer them up a chance. Look, if you guys are looking for some recreation, then it has to be an official police function. But if you want to come and use the gym, say if you want to play basketball or do something like that, then you're welcome to come. Now, what I have to tell you is, there were two white guys and one black guy. Who do you think I offered to come and play basketball? It's not to tell you that everybody's prejudiced. It's just to tell you that we're just weird. And how we think and how we interact, it's not about profiling or not profiling. It's just that we're weird. And to recognize that we are not just, you know, four different color groups, a number of color groups in here. People ask me, "What does your church believe about?" And I was like, they all believe the same thing about anything. And when people say, like, Americans think, well, if Americans all think the same thing, nobody's thinking at all. Because we're all different, and that's okay. Because that's the beauty of this sort of feeling this week, and it's the idea that we are not alone. And in this idea of God creating the world, it's a beautiful thing because we are not alone, but it also has just some chance for us to relax. And so to sum up this idea of God of wonders beyond our galaxy, oh, and if you don't know it, the first song about the lions, that was Daniel. It wasn't just like roaring, not Detroit fans or, you know, it was a Daniel and the lions. And so God of glory is beyond the passage that really I think is cool for us. Is this one. Isaiah 40 begins this. Verse 1, comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. And I'm going to give you, we're going to go through it just sections. Verse 12, this is God. The reason you can be comforted is God has measured the waters of the earth in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span. Now, back in the day, when before there were measurers and laser things, this is how you measured stuff. The span of the thumb to the pinky of a normal guy was that's how far it was a span. And so this poetic writer is saying that God is so massive, you mark off the heavens with a span. So that's what a span is. You learn something. So God has marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measured and weighed the mountains and the scales and the hills in a balance. So if you remember that old balance thing where you put so much here, and that's how massive God is he can weigh these things out in the scale and the balance. These are great images. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or his counselor has instructed him? Whom did he consult for enlightenment, and who taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? And the answer here is nobody. God doesn't have to go on for a master's degree. If God wants to build a Mustang, he doesn't have to Google it. You know, that's the point. God doesn't need the things that we need. And that, again, is good news. Because if you want somebody who is beyond us, then that's where the poet's telling us. Even the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as dust on the scales. See, he takes up the isles like fine dust. The forest of Lebanon would not provide fuel enough, nor its animals enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. Now, I put you in four groups with different colors, and you imagine yourself as birds, and then you go to war. But this idea is that the nations are a drop from a bucket. If it was a day when you had to go to a well or go to a river and you're walking back with a bucket and a drop falls out, you don't go, oh no, I lost the drop. No, you don't care. It's like the sower in the seed. There's some that falls on the path, some that falls on everywhere else, but the abundance is so great that you're not concerned about it. So we lift up our nations, whether you go back to Rome or Egypt with the pyramids, everybody is bragging about how great you are, but we need to understand, it's just a drop in a bucket to God. That's how vast God is. Now, as a nation, you don't want to mess with God, because there were several times he goes, don't play with me, Israel. It won't go well for you. But all that we think we have to have, all that we think is essential, is not essential to God, because God is God. And the good news about God being God is that you don't have to be. We are not alone. God is with us. And God is God, so we can lighten up. And I know that's contrary to every message you get, which tells you that everything is just the beginning of the world. And the emotion that we have is just that we can relax and have peace. So the writer goes on to say, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. The Lord does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, strengthens the powerless. Even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. they shall walk and not faint. Which leads us to our theme verse for this week. And so what I want you to do, I'm going to read a line and then you say it after me. Because that's what we did this week. Welcome to Bible school. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by His power at work within us. The good news is that God is at work. The God who measured off the heavens with a span, cares about us, is at work with us. And you feel it when you're part of Bible school and the youth are falling exhausted and we're all waiting on strength. And you feel it each week. And if you don't and you forget it, come back. We'll remind you. Let us pray. God, we would be a part of your kingdom, not our kingdom. Help us to set aside what we thought we had to have for that which we cannot do without. And hear us, O God, as we lift our voices, seeking to be a part of one universe, yours. Praying as we were taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.